This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
Okay, that's enough.
Hey, God, look at that. We're back. It's hour three now.
Three out of three.
Oh, yeah. Hopped up on the real cheddar cheese flavor of Goldfish all the way from Pepperidge Farm, wherever that farm is.
Smiles.
Made with smiles.
Made with smiles.
There's a lot of other words in the ingredients. I read it here just a minute ago. My God. The chat room has been very busy. Amina, Jenny, Annette, Meow Cow, my mom, Mama Di's in there. Of course, Al's in there as well. Harrison, I saw.
Aaron.
Bridget, is that correct?
Bridget. Yeah, Bridget.
Bridget from
Jenny. North. She's a localist. No, Bridget's a localist.
Yeah, but where? Remind
but
us.
She's up
in. She's up in Kingman.
Working. Oh, okay. She said she's working a...
Or at least is now.
Working a swing in one of her coworkers is snoring.
So many things.
No.
No, Harrison. You just caught us on some weird timing.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Nero it's all right. Was in there.
Anyway,
oh, I didn't see Nero.
Here's our segment about entertainment, and it's all done lovingly by Al Perkins.
Hi.
That's when you talk.
Okay.
So, that's called a toss.
Bollywood is paying tribute to Sridevi, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, one of the Indian film industry's most popular actresses who died suddenly Saturday at 54 years old. Citing family sources, the Press Trust of India reported she died after suffering cardiac arrest in Dubai, where she was attending a family wedding. Bollywood greats and Indian political elites authored a flood of tributes on social media to the actress whose work spanned five decades and included some of the country's most beloved films. She started when she was four.
Wow.
And she made her way into Bollywood movies at the age of 12 in a movie called Julie. And her first, so it says her first big movie was Sulva Sawan. I don't know how my pronunciation is.
Oh, sorry, Rocky. You were in there too. My bad.
I said Rocky.
Yeah.
Where's most Bullwinkle?
She was in some of the most watched movies of the 80s and 90s. Mawali, Tofa, and like I said, Mr. India, I can pronounce that one. And it says she was really one of India's first female superstars. It didn't matter who the male actors were. The movies were shouldered by her. In commercial films, she was able to deliver great performances, even when she was doing absurd stuff like playing a snake in the movie Najina. The performances were amazing. She raised two children with her husband, left the limelight, and then she came back in a movie called Judai. And just an incredible life. And I know there's some things about her story. Now they found out she died in a bathtub. She went la Houston's.
Right. It was due to accidental drowning following loss of consciousness.
Wow.
So she was found in a hotel bathtub. And apparently he did not have his finger on the pulse of this one.
But absolutely, just a beautiful woman.
In fairness, nobody did.
No, it was a surprise.
So very sad. And you know. Whenever a star like that's so big in the country dies, like everyone takes that hard.
Well, and it doesn't matter when it happens, but the idea that just at the end of a family wedding and
and 54 is young.
Sure, very young.
Very young. It gets younger every year.
It really does.
So,
as you hurtle towards it, yes.
And then one of the big, English Vinglish was the other one. I think that's the only one that I've ever seen was English Vinglish. So, and there's always that argument against movies with women or movies with people of color that it won't play internationally, it won't play in China. So we now have Wonder Woman breaking box office records and making tons of money. Mm-hmm. And now we have Black Panther continuing its dominance. Mm-hmm. Disney and Marvel's Black Panther continued its box office domination this weekend, becoming only the fourth film to ever deliver over $100 million in its second weekend, as well as joining Jurassic World as the second fastest film to top $400 million domestically. But then when you go to international numbers, it's already, and we're only at, maybe 11 days of release, literally 11 days of release. It's grossed $727 million in 11 days worldwide.
Wow.
So they're saying that this is on the trajectory of Titanic for speed with reaching that number and Avatar for international numbers. Right. The boat did quite a good speed, but it was stopped short at 4 days. So,
did quite well for a time, and then it all went to shit.
In 11 days, it's already the sixth largest superhero movie of all time, the 15th largest IMAX feature length, the sixth largest comic book adaptation of all time. In the Marvel Universe, it's already the number three movie of all time.
Wow. What are the two ahead of it in the Marvel Universe?
Let's see. There was one, Marvel, The Avengers, and Avengers Age of Ultron. So it's only the movies that have all 17 of them together. That have done better. All-time domestic, 22. All-time adjusted, 136th biggest movie of all time adjusted for inflation. So that means you're competing with Gone with the Wind,
right.
Which comes back into the theaters every 4 or 5 years. The Wizard of Oz.
And Jaws,
like that.
And Wizard of Oz.
Jaws,
and,
The Exorcist, yeah. Still the...
Star Wars.
Now let me see here, because I'm pretty sure it was rated R. Oh no, it was rated PG-13. So it can't compete with Deadpool R-rated, like the highest right. grossing R-rated movies that by far and away, and there's not even anybody in the neighborhood, is The Exorcist.
Oh.
Like, the amount of people that have seen The Exorcist far surpasses... Like, there's not even a movie that's going to come close in our lifetime with an R rating. Mm. So, there's that. So, all-time worldwide, 94. Those are never adjusted. So, just kind of a big deal that this movie that's very political, and I think we talked about it last week...
I'm going to need to go see this, because I...
Unflinchingly political. And a friend of mine that I saw it with was taken aback. He was like, I did not think that Disney and Marvel... would stick their toe in political waters, let alone dive in, shimmy around, do a couple backflips in politics. And
Esther Williams, this shit.
Yeah. So, and as I said to him, from my favorite SNL skit about Beyonce, when the world finds out that Beyonce is black,
mm-hmm.
and they have all the white people like having riots in the street, right. and they're like, I don't get this. And the black lady goes, maybe it's not for you, but everything is for us.
Right.
And so he was like, I just didn't expect... that to be so political. I'm like, maybe it wasn't for you. Maybe you're not, you know, maybe you, white guy, are not the intended audience. Mm-hmm. You enjoyed it, but maybe the politics struck you as like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, and there's probably a lot of people of other
cultures
that
are
uncomfortable
right.
by some of the shit we've been pushing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So maybe this one's not for you. But I mean, he loved the movie. I love the movie. It's terrific. But if you're expecting a movie about... like poverty in Africa or the United Nations or like what you do with great power when you have it to not be political, you're kind of living in the wrong age. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
And the female power in this movie is...
That's what I keep hearing. So literally every podcast gorgeous. That I listen to all week has had a large segment about Black Panther this week. Mm-hmm. And all of them are women like applauding yep. the powerful
yeah.
female characters in the movie.
And it's not one, it's not two,
no,
it's
there's
not
like
three,
seven
like,
of them. Like
yeah.
they rattled off about every like strong black actress I could think of, and I'm like, what?
And I mean, it was not wrong. I mean, they're fucking hot.
Yeah, oh.
I mean, gorgeous. Just.
If you if you're not turned on by the end of that movie by something,
no.
I don't care if it's just the beautiful trees or the scenery, but if it's not this, like... the sexual power of like strong, confident mm-hmm. people battling for what they believe in. I mean, that's it turns out it's a heady aphrodisiac. But you know, the proof is in the pudding, making money. So that's the good news. When you know that argument gets shot in the ass. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? When Bridesmaids makes money. When these movies with different casts make money, it's always right. a good thing, because that's what you need to get more made. Is you have to prove.
Yeah,
there is money there, and all movies are made to sell in China. Let's sure. let's be honest. You need the international money to pay Tom Cruise.
Sure,
right.
And I can't bitch because I like most Tom Cruise movies.
Now,
I am unallowed to go any further down that
good
road.
Hanging off the edge of a plane.
Like, I know. What do you need?
Hanging off the edge of insert dangerous thing here.
Yeah.
It doesn't sure. matter. We all want to see Tom Cruise there. It's fine.
So the Bridget mentions
Nero.
Get Out. Did you talk about that? Because forgive me, because Ben and Abby, Aaron's brother and sister, have been talking about it.
Oh, I've talked about, we've been talking about this movie for over a year now.
So longer than the heroin epidemic, honestly.
Yeah, long, yeah.
The heroin epidemic really outshines everything on this, on this station. So
we're laser focused.
Oh, breaking news. I just got a text from my mother. She would love to see Black Panther. Well, I think we're going to go see
it.
That this weekend.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, because they have been talking about it, and there's nothing about it that looks...
It's so good.
Everything, it just looks campy. It looks like... I mean, just the
oh,
pieces
no.
that I've seen. We have it. I have HBO because someone told me to get more rent for my mother. But...
I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but you should live it with HBO.
Apparently it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Feel better, Harrison. Thanks
feel
for joining
better.
Us.
Bye, sweetheart.
Good night.
But the... there was nothing that struck me about it.
Oh, it's,
and so
it's
we
terrific.
DVR'd it, and we have it, but I'm like, oh, okay.
And be ready, because it's the spoiler at the Oscars.
Okay.
It's the dark horse, to forgive the pun, but it really is a spoiler.
Okay.
And it keeps winning. It just keeps winning stuff, and it keeps being nominated. We're a year past its release, over a year past its release, and it's still in the running for everything. The only thing I don't know is if the Producers Guild did their awards this weekend.
I actually thought they were... Oh, no. Tomorrow night is the... I just saw this on CBS Sunday morning. Tomorrow night, they have a... There's an event where whatever orchestra in L.A., they gather and they play scores from all the nominated movies.
Oh, yeah.
That's tomorrow night in L.A.
And I'm sorry, but the... So the Producers Guild Awards were handed out a few weeks ago and The Shape of Water did win, but Get Out was nominated. And Get Out has not been nominated for any Best Picture prize this entire year. And it's a terrific movie. Okay. I think I've seen it 6 or 7 times, and now it's on HBO.
Yeah.
So if it starts, I just can't turn away. I'm just...
Okay.
Captivated.
When it gets to that 15 minutes of straight-up comedy, I'm like just delighted by it.
And I know that
the guy petting his dog, I'm a TSA agent. Just fantastic.
I know that you've been singing the praises of the Blyja for quite a while, but she was on CBS Sunday morning again, and I didn't know any of her real-life backstory. About everything, just her life and how she grew up, and then the divorce, that she was actually homeless after a divorce, and she moved in with her producer for a while. Like, there was a whole big backstory to her. I got a little more respect for her. I still am not crazy about most of her music.
Oh, I'm a huge fan.
But there are certainly several, and actually a couple they played snippets of that I'm like, oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh,
but it was very interesting, and then they showed some scenes from...
She's
in Mudbound. Totally different movie.
Mudbound. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Mudbound. Totally different movie. I'm sorry.
Which has the same cinematographer as Black Panther.
Okay.
But what they were saying was she's nominated not only for supporting actress in that, she's also nominated for song. Mm-hmm. So she has a chance to win two different Academy Awards.
Okay.
So, you know, again, they're just, you know, it could be cool. She could win both.
Yeah, and the song category is so, like, ripe with talent. Like, do you give the La La Boys... Because The Greatest Showman is nominated there, and it's turned into this huge hit, and now The Greatest Showman's being compared with Titanic, where, like, it's not falling out of the top 10, so it just keeps making money.
Yeah.
Where everyone, like, wrote it off because it didn't debut as, like, I think Titanic did debut as the number one movie, but it was a very small debut. But then it just chugged its way along and ended up being the highest grossing movie of all time because it never fell out of the top 5. And the same is happening with The Greatest Showman. It's still at number 6. Like, it's still in the top six. And we're like 2 solid months.
Because it's delightful. Yeah, haters, shut up. It's delightful.
We're 2 months and 2 days past its release, and it's still chugging along in the top 5 or 6.
Good.
Like,
I'm happy to hear that.
So do you give it to that? Do you give it to Mary J. Blige for this movie that's getting great reviews? Do you give it to Coco, which has a fantastic song?
Oh, like, my God.
Yeah, there's so many. Again, it's one of the
Coco
few times
so
that
wonderful.
Best original song
so wonderful.
Has a lot of talent in it, a lot of songs you know, a lot of movies you know. Like, there's a lot going on in that category.
That just came out on DVD, I believe.
Oh, like, my gosh, I'm going to red box it.
I should have it, because I feel like that's one of those movies. I mean, again, you can get there and steal Magnolias, but if you just need a good, just let it out.
Yeah.
Now Coco's going to be a go-to.
See, In-N-Out for me would be that go-to.
In-N-Out.
The movie.
Oh, it's Kevin Barbara Streisand!
No, I do love that one. But the
burger joint? Wait, no. I don't know what we're talking about.
Do you mean Up?
Good Burger?
Huh?
Do you mean Up?
No.
In-N-Out.
The only In-N-Out I know is
the Kevin Kline movie.
Kevin Kline movie about coming out of the closet.
Isn't that what it's called?
Onward and Upward?
No, what is it called that I'm screwing up?
Here to Eternity?
Give us some clues.
No,
what's it about?
Joy and sadness and...
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you're talking about the animated movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Fuck.
Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Thank you. Wait a minute. Thank you.
Yeah,
But that's my go-to for, like, just all my...
The line, fuck Barbara Streisand, was not
in that movie.
Thank you for checking.
But Bing Bong was, and that made me lose my shit.
Because it's the pinnacle of the Pixar philosophy. What if toys had feelings? What if...
Cars
had feelings. What if feelings had feelings?
Okay, so we talked about that one. And then my last thing that I'll talk about is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, 3rd season. Due to the whole 30 days of Oscar, new cable box, choosing other things, it got booted off and I missed like 2 episodes.
I just got a notification that they added a season to Netflix, though.
Right, so what they did was the 3rd season ended and CW needs this show to stay alive, and so does Rachel Bloom.
Bloom.
So, bam. I mean, that ended, I realized I was missing two episodes, and I woke up the next morning to, and it's now on Netflix. So it's a much shorter season. It's only 13 episodes. But what they did from the end of season two, which you've seen, right? The wedding?
I'm somewhere muddled in season two.
Okay.
I sort of weirdly, like, lost interest without losing interest.
So at the end of season two, there's an event and a breakdown.
I'm not afraid of spoilers.
And then season three comes up, and they take the crazy ex-girlfriend, and somebody had the idea to, like, what if we address this as a serious issue? Like, what if we take this funny show about a stalker and talk about what's wrong with this woman and maybe have a serious conversation about, this isn't really funny.
Okay.
And so we'll still have a comedy, but what if we actually delve into what's wrong with... Stalking. And what's her name on that show?
Rebecca.
Oh, it is Rebecca and Paula.
Rebecca Bunch.
Yeah, Rebecca Bunch and Paula. Like, what's wrong with these two women?
Okay.
So we start off with Rebecca for, like, the first half of the season, and then they get into, like, why is Paula only interested in Rebecca when she's being nuts? Like, and why is she so obsessed with someone's obsession? So they kind of take it on, and they take on borderline...
That's
personality.
So interesting.
Oh, wow.
And so they really look at borderline personality.
I already dated that. I don't need
okay,
that.
Okay, so Netflix says I did watch all of that, so apparently I'm caught up.
So
we need to revisit then if you don't remember. You might want to...
I'm very busy, Clay.
They tackle suicide. They tackle, like, what's involved with suicide and people, like, getting involved and trying to worm their way into it and people saying, like, this isn't about you. But they're still keeping the show very funny. The songs are hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
The therapist, her therapist sings a song.
Aaron loves the show.
Oh, my God. Her therapist sings a song, like, maybe this time from... Because everything's kind of like something
isn't
else.
Isn't her therapist, like, an actual Broadway actress, though?
Yeah, and I keep meaning to Google her and find out who she is, but she's terrific. So she gives you maybe...
I'm going to do that now for you.
Yeah, she does it maybe this time from Cabaret. Like, maybe this time she's going to listen. Maybe this time she's going to, like, take therapy seriously. And maybe this time I'm just talking out my ass. But the best one is when they get to Paula's problem and Paula finds her Josh. She finds the guy she's been obsessing about because it was the first penis she ever saw. So it's called First Penis I Ever Saw, but they do it like Mamma Mia.
Why wouldn't it
And
be?
They do it in this whole ABBA style in a grocery store.
First penis. Da 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 da.
Yep, you caught it.
Oh, that I ever saw. My. How can I resist
But
you?
They do the whole, like, one looks this way, one looks this way. And her backup dancers are hysterical. They change all the labels on all the products to be what she's obsessed about. It's fantastic. But I really have to, like, to the fact that they're still pulling off a funny show with great songs, but really taking a look that they've been on long enough to be like, maybe we should help people out who might be doing this at home.
Sure.
That this
and thinking
isn't,
that we're yeah, like, promoting
this,
it.
This isn't funny. Like, right. If you know someone like this who's this crazy off the rails, maybe look into it. Maybe get some help. So it's really well done. So if you're not watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, just watch it because... Just watch, we tap that ass all over the place. That song and that tap dance are just priceless. If you ever need a pick-me-up, just watch We Tap That Ass All Over the Place.
That is
to a tap number. All done to tap dancing.
Yeah, that's one of those shows that I watch but kind of don't watch.
Yeah.
I put it on and then I'm like doing other stuff. And
Well, I didn't realize I had missed it. No. Like all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute. Because I when
There's
I got the
a void
news cable,
in my
but,
day.
Yeah, I got the cable box and I've been playing 30 Days of Oscar, so I've been picking all these movies from the Oscar canon that I have not seen or have not seen recently or just need to refresh on and see if they're still good. Because some of them don't hold up as good as you think they're going to. So I keep it'll be like, well, this is competing with this. Do you want to not tape that? And I obviously at some point on a Friday night said, well, I guess I don't want to. But it was just funny when I realized it was missing. The next day it came
up.
The
very next day.
And I'm like, wow, Netflix, there's no turnaround. Like, Feud is still not out on any
right.
streaming channels. Oh, and then our two things.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's just so much going on. The NRA.
Very
turns out,
busy.
If you have questions about why we're boycotting FedEx tomorrow, just don't answer your door. Let them go. Or give them a little diatribe about they still support the NRA and offer a discount FedEx. And it turns out that the Amazon streaming, which friends have had questions about, but how can that have something? Amazon streaming streams NRA TV.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to go. It's a terrorist organization.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting ideology over child's lives. So as Amina says, they're our Taliban. Mm-hmm. Like, we just got to own that shit. And Delta Airlines just got an invitation today to come to New York City. Because the lieutenant governor is threatening their fuel tax discount
mm-hmm.
and saying if they don't offer NRA members the discount, they're going to fuck with their fuel tax incentive. So Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, and the lieutenant governor and everybody are like,
come on.
Come on.
Bring it to New York.
And de Blasio said this. De Blasio was like, yep, we will welcome you because American Airlines used to be, Pan Am was in on the top of the Chrysler building. American Airlines used to be based out of New York. They're like, we need an airline again. Come on home.
I love it.
Oh, there isn't an airline that's based in New York anymore.
Mm-mm.
Oh, didn't realize that.
So so it would be a fun thing to watch the lieutenant governor have to explain why millions of jobs were lost in Georgia because he chose the NRA over employment.
Yeah.
So so all of a sudden, it's a fun game of political chess.
Sure.
Very, very interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, congratulations to the rental car companies, the credit card companies, everybody that has realized we are not going to give a discount to people who support terrorists. Like, there's just no way around it. I'm sure NRA members don't realize anymore, but it's time to wake up and realize.
Well, that Dana Loesch.
Cunt.
Is that the dark-haired woman?
Yes.
Oh. Remember, there's a whole episode like 4 years ago where I was trying to get you all to remember her because she used to be the spokesperson of the Tea Party.
Yep.
And she was Cunty McCuntstein during the 2012 election, and I couldn't get anybody to know who she was.
I see. And now I thought you were talking about.
She shows up with the NRA.
She's been horrible. But
she was the Tea Party darling that was always on CNN.
I thought you were talking about the one who said, I'm not a witch.
No, Christine Donnelly. She's just
something.
A Tea Party member. This was the Tea Party. She used to pretend she founded the Tea Party, and then she got called all kinds of cuntiness.
She's fucking awful. There is one other thing in entertainment, which is very exciting. If you guys and your Broadwayness appreciate Waitress,
yes,
Sarah Bareilles. I mean, for real, but so good, but. Catherine McPhee is going to be taking over for her.
Oh, very good. And just good that show is still playing.
Because we saw Megan Hilty this weekend, and she didn't have a lot to say about Catherine McPhee. Lots of other people, but it seemed kind of
I feel like there's not much to say about Catherine McPhee. No, listen, I've listened to some interviews. I feel like there's not a lot to say.
I just think her voice is extraordinary.
Oh, I do, too.
I think she's
Well, she should sing. Yeah, please sing.
Yes.
Please stand there and look like that and sing to
and
me.
Sing. Right.
And she was raised as a singer. Like, her mom was a singing teacher. Like, she comes to it naturally, and she's very good. And she's got a hit TV show. That's the best part.
Right.
They're probably all bitter because
I have to start watching because I realized that she was on it.
Yeah, that nobody else got a show, but she's got that stupid Scorpion show, which is awful. Mm. It is, oh my God, it is meant for
I have heard it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But if you're at the gym or something, which is where I usually catch it, like, I just sit there and, like, watch it with my headphones on, and I'm like, all right, that made 40 minutes go by. Like, it's it just happens. It's it's kind of like the Big Bang Theory meets James Bond with a token female who happens to be Catherine McPhee.
Okay.
Either way, it's on my to-do list.
Yeah.
She wants to do Elphaba as well, and so that would be...
Who does?
Catherine McPhee.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's one
is it confirmed that she's going to go be in Waitress?
She is. March 11th is
Sarah's
last.
Oh, they found time for her. Good.
But what a perfect vehicle for her voice. That's right in her wheelhouse.
Beginning on April 10th, actually.
Because she's got to finish filming her hit TV show.
Right. Well, because when I had the loaner car and I had like Broadway satellite radio for a while, they had her on in an interview and they were talking about why she hasn't done Broadway and it's because of her hit TV show.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they just couldn't find the time and she said that she was in talks to do Waitress at that time and then Sarah Bareilles decided, no, I'm going to do it again.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's my show. I'm just going to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
But a terrific show, and that's an idea. That's a little engine that could. Waitress.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
little show.
Aaron plays
that 4 years later is still playing.
Which
still
original cast starred Kiala Settle?
I don't know who that is.
Of The Greatest Showman.
Yes. Oh! Wait a minute.
Shit!
So
I have no idea why I'm ringing a bell, but I am.
Minding my own business last Wednesday at a Show Tunes night, a completely unscheduled, unsanctioned Show Tunes night.
Yeah, I saw you check in.
Right. You can't call a bitch and be like, hey, I'm going to Show Tunes.
Yes.
Didn't know it was Show Tunes. I was just going in for a little cocktail, and they would not let up. That went on for hours. But
that's how we get you.
They played a number.
Bait and switch.
And there she shows up, and I'm like, okay, I ate the whole sandwich. I bit it. I got it. That little video where she's too shy to sing, and I don't like to sing in front of people. You've been on Broadway, bitch.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I bought that whole thing that she was nervous and shy and couldn't possibly do it.
Well, because Hugh Jackman was there. Right. Kiala Settle.
She's the bearded lady.
This is me. Like she really, yeah, the bearded lady.
The bearded lady that sings "This Is Me" in The Greatest Showman. They have that video where they sing for the producers to get the money.
Right.
And she's doing this whole like, I'm shy, you know, like I could never sing in front of people.
Okay.
And then she shows up. She's in a like a she's from a Broadway show, and I'm like, oh, bitch, you've been on the boards.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just stop with that shit.
But you know as well as I do, it's easier to perform for 5,000 people than for 5.
For a big house than a small house, right.
Right, right.
They're all stuck in a room this size.
But they made it seem like she'd never sung it. I mean, they sold that.
They
like,
really did.
Like,
no,
she was an undiscovered talent.
I have problems just in this room performing in front of you guys, just with voices and whatever I'm doing over here.
I know. But
you do it wonderfully.
They made it seem like they plucked her out of the crowd and she had never been in the spotlight before. Because I think the thing that I saw her in was the after the Orlando shooting.
Oh,
the,
yeah,
what the
she's
world
in that.
Needs now is love, sweet love. And they showed her. I'm like, wait, I know that. I know that person.
Oh,
and then later
that.
She
That's
belts
good,
out.
So
I'm
familiar.
Like, shut the fuck up.
That's a good playlist. Too.
Oh, it is.
That was a you got there on a good day.
It was terrific.
It's a good
welcome.
Day, sir. Good day, sir.
Good day, sir. Yeah, it was. Well,
no, because I leave selections. I don't leave my whole collection at the bar, but I load selections of show tunes like for the week or the month.
Bait.
Well,
it's
kind
bait.
Of.
It's like chum.
Well,
she's throwing chum in the water.
She's chum in the water
right.
for queers. Yeah.
Well, and I want to keep the good stuff for when I'm working.
Sure. I'll go with you.
Yeah. So I tease it out. There was some new stuff and some good stuff. You landed on a good day, sir.
And then Bridget and I were forced to miss. The
sing-along.
Hamilton sing-along. How did it go?
Wonderfully. As is kind of my habit, whenever I like have an unusual event that I'm kind of in charge of, I freak the fuck out the day of. So
oh,
I
yeah.
was like all kinds of adrenaline that day. But no, it turned out wonderfully. People showed up. People sang.
Did the news guy come back?
No.
Okay, I thought maybe they might come back and do a follow-up story.
No, that would have been lovely, but no. We had a great time. We had a house full of Hamilton fanatics that knew every single word more than I did and just screamed it out at the top of their lungs
anybody,
like you can't at the theater.
Anybody show up in costume?
No costumes.
Okay.
Quite a bit of merch. A lot of people had, you know, hats and shirts and
right.
things. And so quite a bit of merch and just like a just right time. You know what I mean? Like, more people would have been unmanageable, less people would have sucked, but...
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Like, a just right time. Like, it was really great feedback from it and a lot of fun. And
good.
And it was a fundraiser also?
No.
I know I thought there was part of it was a fundraiser.
It was a Kat Carlson loves Hamilton
okay.
and wants to sing it at the top of her lungs while she's at work.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
And then that's completely
yeah.
fair.
So I said,
just thought there was a tie-in.
Right, all the right reasons.
Yeah. I just thought there was a tie-in.
Sometimes
with some...
bars just want to make money.
She was bartending, so it was a fundraiser.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
right.
Valid.
The Kat Carlson t-shirt equipment fund.
Yeah, the tip jar.
Right.
Yeah, all that. Sure.
No, I've been collecting videos and like music and tracks and like I've been collecting all of this shit for years now, right? Hamilton's been like 2 years of this obsession in this life, so I have all of this shit. I could do 4 sing-alongs in a row and never show the same lyric video twice. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
Like, I have all of this stuff, so it finally came up that we were in need of, like, something to put on a calendar, and Hamilton was here in town, and I said, well, let's do this.
Right.
And luckily for me, I work for someone who's willing to go, yeah,
okay.
all right,
yeah, why not?
What do you want me to do?
Right.
And
yeah.
he seemed very happy with it. Like, his response was good. The people that I knew that went were very excited by it.
Yeah.
I don't know if Matt and Jacob made it in.
Jacob with a K, yes.
I saw him on Sunday.
Did you?
Jacob.
You know, there's an internet conspiracist will tell you that Jacob and I are the same person because we are rarely in the same room together.
Mm.
And I sold that to Matt Maraska because Matt's like, wait, you just pulled the he was just here card.
Yeah.
Are you? So we may still be the same person. But no, Matt was late. He had it in his brain that the event was at 9. And so he showed up at 10. And Jacob with a K did show up.
That is funny, because as soon as he said he was thinking about going with Jacob, I'm like, well, you know I can't go, because Jacob and I can't be in the same room together.
Jesus.
You know he's my first alternate. If he goes, then I'm covered.
Right. And you Jacob and I are allegedly the same person, so we can't be there together.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was just...
But yeah, no, I mean, several people were looking for you. You know what I mean?
As was I.
Yeah. Matt came in, Jacob was asking about you.
I had no idea
Mark
Matt
Martinez
was even in town until yesterday.
Mark came by.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I don't fucking know. He's either sleeping or working.
I was working. I oriented for 100%. A new job, not a new job, but a different job. Did the orientation for it to help out, mm-hmm. and like the shifts that were available to pick up, that was one of them. And I was like, fuck. And it really was like they took they paid the money to train me and do all this stuff. And I'm like, well, I gotta dance like a little monkey for them if they paid for it. But I
usually choose money over fun too. Yeah.
Right. So, but hopefully we'll schedule another one. And it's not like I don't have a Hamilton sing along in my car.
Right,
but this time other people would be interrupting me.
Yeah. I literally have. We could have our own if we want. We can invite selected people. We could do anything we want.
But it was just. I mean, your show tunes night without you on Wednesday. The music was terrific,
I was
with someone who likes music, likes musicals, just not a savant like I am. And he was like, just enough. Shut up.
Did it work?
No.
Oh, I was like, can we get in here?
I found someone else to tell.
So the problem with my show tunes is that you can't just go expecting it to go like, you know, Judy, Barbara.
Right.
You know, baby. You can't just expect the tops. No, you go deep into the ridiculousness.
It's way inside baseball. And the best part was, though, is I would be like, well, you know, this has to do with, and that song would start. I'm like, oh, we are in a wavelength. I'm like, well, you know, this would tie beautifully. Oh, she did it again.
Because I sit at home and do that in my brain, and I go, oh, put this one there. Oh, put that
one
there.
And Brick, what's his name?
Brock.
Brock. Brock was hysterical. He's like, you're just calling him now. I'm like, he's like, you just know. He's like, you're just figuring. I'm like, I kind of got into her mindset. Like, I see where she's going with some of this. Oh. And I'm like, this is a repeat. We already saw this number.
No, but not by this artist.
No, it was a repeat. He's like, I like the song, and you're going to sing along to the whole thing anyways. And I was like, it's true.
That's fair.
I think it was Buenos Aires. Like,
oh.
Yeah.
That's a good one to repeat.
I was like... and Bridget's date had to watch shitty reality TV, so I'm mad at her.
Oh.
There's that.
You gotta dump them if they watch reality TV. My whole point of this entertainment section is to keep you off reality TV.
American Idol ruined America.
Partly.
Now that Bachelor show did.
Oh,
American Idol started the whole fucking thing. That whole elimination style.
I feel like Survivor's first.
Was it?
Yeah, I think Survivor's first.
I've been on the wrong rant.
Oh, that got awful.
I'm not apologizing to Ryan Seacrest. Yeah, I won't do it.
Oh, and he's recently accused of...
Oh, you know who I forgot in the entertainment realm who died? Was it Thursday? Nanette Fabre.
Oh, yeah, super old.
Yeah, 95 or somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just saw it. I forgot why it was on, but it was just on it. Nanette Fabre passed away.
Oh, and I found it terrific because I was down the rabbit hole today. Terrific interview with Joy Behar and Betty White that is funny when Joy Behar hit her show on HLN.
I don't know anything about that. Well, I have to. Interview. Is that on the YouTubes?
Yep.
We'll have to look that up. Nice. Unless there's something else you specifically want to talk about, I actually have a thoughtful vulgarity that we'll do that, and then it engages us all to talk a little bit more. Al, is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. I like to clear.
Just say yes.
I like to clear with him.
Yeah.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
That's why they rushed the Donna Summerman.
All right, so our thoughtful vulgarity on this evening. If you'll recall, a week or so ago, I made a comment about a friend of mine, which I think, I don't know if all of us know him, I'm pretty sure you know, Marshall Shore, hip historian here in town, who does a lot of, he's phenomenal. He tracks a lot of Arizona history. He came to me specifically needing some back history of some bar. Not that I keep all the knowledge of all the old gay bars in town, but I obviously, with my connection to Winx and being around as long as I had, he got information from me. He's got information from a lot of other people. They've also organized, I think he was part of You recall Gina Florio years ago doing the one at Cobalt where all the bar owners talked. He was part of that in some way. I don't know if he just gave her the idea or how that came about. But anyway, he told me that they're looking to do another session like that where old bar owners or whatever, even older customers come in and tell stories from yesteryear and whatnot.
Well, that's fun. I want to go.
So whenever that comes up, I'll let you know.
Oh, that one that I went to was a terrific panel.
But
Frenelli and Tony Bartoli.
But the story that I told you about him a couple weeks ago was he put a post on Facebook looking for a 12-inch of vinyl of the album of Culture Club's Karma Chameleon, which I have because I have all that. So the reason he needed it is because, do you remember the old Coronado Cafe here in town?
Yeah.
Okay. Changed ownership. It's now just called the Coronado, and a couple gals own it. I guess it is lesbian owned, regardless, but apparently it's fabulous still. They do a thing.
What does that mean?
They do a thing once a month.
Let it go. Let it go.
They do a thing once a month called Vinyl Voices. This is what he needed that album for, an actual album, because the deal is... It's not on iPod, it's not on cassette, it's vinyl. That's their deal. And they have an actual DJ that plays it. Well, the reason is they ask different people each month, three or four people, and the deal is that you tell a story about the relevance of a song to you in your life and what it means or what, you know, why it's important to you, why the song is important to you.
Fun.
And then they play the song. In some cases, he said, so, you know, some people have never heard whatever the song is. It could be a deep track from an album that, you know, nobody, you knew like the popular songs of it, but maybe there's one track that's in there that, you know, like he has tracks on Donna Summer albums that I would never remember that he knows and he loves. I have them all, but I don't remember them.
Right.
So anywho, I thought we would go around and tell a story, which I think we've probably touched on this a little bit before with regards to music, but I was thinking if there's a song, and we're not going to play the song, but tell a story about
copyright laws.
A song that it was hugely important and the story behind it and see how that works. So I thought we would do that.
Oh my gosh. It's a huge question.
And I'll let it just take a second, think of whatever song, because there's a lot of fucking music.
I know. I feel like I should have been able to study.
On the drive to Palm Springs, I started with Studio 54 channel, then went to 80s and 90s, and we settled on 70s on 7. And Eric Carmody and I sang every goddamn song. And you forget, oh my God, how many fabulous, wonderful songs are. And the nice thing is also the Sirius XM tells you what year it is. So he was like, oh my God, this song came out. What year? And I pushed, and he goes, oh God, I was in eighth grade. Like we would figure out.
Right.
And it was just an interesting way to go down memory lane by hearing all the old songs. But it's funny, you know every word. You don't realize you know every word. So anyway, anybody want to go first if there's a song that meant something to them? And
that's all Al. That goes...
Start with Alfie?
Yeah.
I mean, we've told so many about coming out to Glenn Frey, to A Different Corner by George Michael and making me move here. Mm-hmm. I guess the one that came to mind quickly, just because we've been talking about show tunes, is like relationships and sleeping and like always feeling like I have to fix it. Like there's never anyone to like rely on, like... that everything's all right from Jesus Christ Superstar, like sleeping, they shall soothe you, you know, just someone just saying, I got this, like you go to sleep. Like it's kind of been like my goal in life is kind of like for a partner is for someone to be like, just sleep. I got this. Like you don't have to like stay awake worrying about this. And it's that everything's all right from Jesus Christ Superstar is like just the most fabulous lullaby to me of like, what I would want from someone. Like, you can just let me sleep. Just cover it so I can sleep. I don't have that kind of insomnia anymore, but I've just always been a fan of that lyric and the sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you and anoint you. Just lovely. Just a lovely sentiment. And so I always think of that, like, for if I was ever going to let somebody live with me.
If.
Ugh, don't do it. It's the worst.
And it doesn't have to be as an emotional attachment to the story. Just a song that has a story that's connected to it. So it could be any number of things. Because I know Marnie doesn't always like to delve into the emotional cut of a story.
Right.
So I want to give you the freedom to pick. I don't care if it's a tailgating party at a at a football game in Minnesota. Like, if there's a certain song,
Actually, there is.
Okay.
and I think it just kind of speaks for itself. I was going to be a smartass, and I looked up songs that have chili cook-off in them.
I bet a lot of them are country songs.
They are, as a matter of fact.
The 23rd or 24th of March at Charlie's is the Marla Hooch cook-off that used to be at Roscoe's.
Oh, you're kidding.
You got it. I think you should be required to go.
I would love that.
Okay.
But mine would be You've Got a Friend. With either
Carly Simon, or
Carole King.
Carole King, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
Carole
a line. King, that's a line from the Full Monty. You've got a friend like Carole King said, or Carly Simon. I can never tell them apart.
Oh my God, that's funny. I was going to say, or James that's Taylor, good. Literal the Carly
lyric.
Simon.
Yeah, literal
coming
lyric.
Together that's there. Anyway, I just that song just. If I'm answering the question correctly.
Yeah. Oh, and Fire and Rain by James
Fire
Taylor.
And Rain, come on.
I can cry in the middle of a grocery store for that song.
Kind of anything James Taylor.
Yeah.
I think would be
just kind of gets you and makes you melancholy.
Absolutely. Well, otherwise Dan Fogelberg. That would be my those are like the old Auld Lang Syne.
Another Auld Lang Syne, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those would be my two. Kind of just invoke all the feels.
You're both going a little more emotional than I am.
I have a tradition on New Year's Eve that I started a long time ago that sometimes not everybody's in on, but I like to play one sad song and one happy song on New Year's Eve.
And you play Bette Midler? No?
Sometimes it depends, but sometimes it's just another Auld Lang Syne by Dan Fogelberg because that song is so melancholy.
It is, I agree.
But sometimes it's Bette Midler, Shiver Me Timber. Sometimes it's a little something. Just you need something a little blue and then something a little happy to get you ready for the new year.
Yeah, those two I would say, and actually more Carole King than James Taylor when it comes to You've Got a Friend.
Yeah, beautiful version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I clearly, unless I'm watching a musical, I'm cold and dead inside. So
she speaks the truth.
Oh my God!
I don't experience human emotion unless it's through Broadway musical and tap dance.
Right.
But, like, the soundtrack of my life, so music is time periods for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so a fun, like, the very first thing that sprang to mind was kind of a childhood memory, and an actual childhood memory. I was an actual child.
Ooh.
I know.
No, the rest of us have been.
No.
I was not.
I missed that part. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Birth, 19 years old. That's all it.
But yeah, if I were to tell a story and then play the soundtrack of it would be the Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
Okay.
And the story
best musical about abortion ever.
Seriously. Exactly. How many musicals about abortion do we need? Only one.
Yep.
And we've got a good
one. Just that one, yeah. Yep. Out of the park the first try. No need to make another one.
But one summer, many, many years ago, that was apparently the only cassette in the car for like a 16-hour drive to Montana. With my mother and her sister, and then me and my sister in the back seat, and we were just driving to Montana over the summer for whatever the family gathering was.
Right.
And that was literally the only music that we had the entire time. And it's kind of a fun memory because clearly every song on, and we had both of them. We had Dirty Dancing and then the sequel soundtrack, More Dirty Dancing.
More Dirty Dancing, yeah.
Because there were two cassette tapes.
For the songs that weren't quite included.
Right.
Sure.
And just some of the other songs again.
Yeah.
Which is very fun. Yeah.
Oh, that is fun. I like that.
But yeah, I can go through, you know, the parts of my life that I haven't already just mentally blocked out and just add music to them.
Oh, yeah.
As time goes. Yeah. Like, I could be a miserable, like, high school teenager listening to, clearly, Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill.
Right.
In a like a red Volkswagen convertible that the girl up the street drove.
Right.
Because I wasn't allowed to have my car because I was a bad kid all the time. Yeah. It was sitting in the driveway, but I wasn't allowed to drive it.
And through all the bad junior high stuff, there was Pat Benatar albums that just got me through all of it. Like, I just, oh my God, just screaming Wuthering Heights at the top of my lungs. And
don't let it show!
No Natalie Cole in there?
No. Just that one was that was
I miss you like crazy!
Yeah, this one was a loving tribute.
Oh, the poor cat.
It's a loving tribute.
Hard to tell the difference. That one was loving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 16 hours, one soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
I moved out here to the Erasure album over and over and over again with a couple songs in between, but mostly it was just Erasure.
I can see you driving the Missy Elmobile here.
I had never heard it, but Tim had just bought it, and we decided to listen to it. He knew one song, and I didn't know any. He introduced me to Erasure at the beginning of the drive, and by 3 days and a whole country later, we knew every single word and had choreographed, like, roller skating numbers to it. We were...
Well played.
Yeah.
Well played. As you should.
What do we got going on there? There... Baby, I'm Amazed from Lone Star. Okay. Uh-huh. That's a good song, too.
What was yours?
Yeah, but this one time a friend of mine was awfully drunk and sang it, Baby, I'm Amazed, and so now I have to sing it that way from now on.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that.
I can't hear it otherwise.
Well, another friend of mine won't tell me what he thought the song, I'd Really Like to See You Tonight. I'm not talking about
your Lennon. Right.
The Lennon. I have to say, but he said what he thought was not Lennon, but he, to this day, will not tell me what he thought it was. He said, because you'll never let it go. I'm like, well, I can't imagine what else it would be. I'm not talking about Moving In is the lyric, but everybody else says I'm not talking about the Lennon or whatever. What the hell could you possibly have thought it was?
I'm not talking about John Lennon.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
No, but he said, but he'll still, to this day, not tell me whatever it was.
England Dan and John Ford Coley. I know all the hits.
As we were driving to Palm Springs, America came on, and it was funny because we're driving through the desert.
Yeah.
Been through the desert on a horse with no name.
I love
to get out from the rain. My story is, and I believe, and I know I've shared this before, Mom's heard the story before. I know I've told it on this, but when I think of that story, I think of that having to tell a story related to a song, it's in 1984, winter of
Picture
1984. It. It's my mom had gone on a business trip to Hawaii, and we were left under the care of her younger sister.
You're on camera.
Oh, I understand that.
No, her.
Oh.
Sorry, I should look at the camera when I said
that. Yeah, and my mom's watching you do it. Whatever.
Yeah, that's why I'm like.
So, anywho, we were left under the care and jurisdiction of my Aunt Susie, and this was part of, Wham had come out with Make It Big. There was, there was Wake Me Up Before You Go Go and Freedom and all this. Well, they had then released the Wham featuring George Michael, the Careless Whisper track. Well, I had been in a pursuit of trying to find somebody in that fucking city that I lived in to figure out how to do highlights like George had, because that's all I wanted.
Oh.
You gotta get the weird hat and pull this.
We'd gone through a couple things of that, and it just became. I looked like Opie. Like I was just. It was just orange. Like I looked like that bag of fucking goldfish.
Oh, because you gotta strip it out because your hair's too dark.
Well, my hair was so dark, and they didn't lift it enough. Well, so I'd wind up with orange.
Now he knows all the words.
Oh no, yeah, all that. So went through. They didn't lift enough. It was orange. It came out this. It wasn't brassy enough because George's hair was whatever brassiness they had going on with it. I was in love with all of it, not realizing. It was white, but they were using a gold filter or gold lighting to make it. I didn't know all these tricks at the time. So I decided, fuck it. Just platinum my hair. Platinum it. And so they did. I was completely toe-headed. I was as blonde. I was Susan Powder at some point. Like, I was as blonde.
Or the character Powder.
So I then. Either
no,
one.
No, he was bald.
Either one.
Oh, true.
Yeah, no, I was. I was just completely.
That's true.
So I then. Get the hair again. Mom's out of town, care of her sister. I go to school the next day, white hair in this little town of this high school. Well, then again, and I'm dressed in a long black, like a not a trench coat, but it was a long, the long coats they wore in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I was in that. I'm riding around with my aunt in her car, and I think my cousin was with me, the cousin that Mike that flies now. And I decided that I couldn't do this anymore, but we're driving around. Careless Whispers on the radio. We're in my aunt's 78 280 ZX, which is black, and there's 4 inches of white snow on the ground, and I'm in white platinum hair. I decided that we couldn't do this, and Mom was coming back the next day. Go to Safeway, dark hair color my hair back.
Kitchen chemistry way through this.
Got all the way through. No pictures were taken, and Mom gets back, and of course, in my innocence and naivete, I think I'm just going to pull off this entire thing, and she's like, Mom like walks in, the first thing she says is, why is your hair so much darker? Like, why? Something's wrong.
Right?
And then it was discovered that Clayton had platinumed his hair, yeah. And the only thing she was mad about was, why were there no pictures taken?
Right. Oh, God.
That's a good mom.
Real.
Why were there no pictures
and
taken?
And on that line, like, after all the years of having dyed my hair red, I just got, like, some little kid, one of my friend's kids, was like, why is your hair orange sometimes? Because trying to keep up red hair in Arizona with the chlorine from being in the pools all the time in
the sun, right?
Just, you turn into the Joker real quick. It just goes brassy in a heartbeat.
I bet.
So I stopped dyeing my hair, and then I was in Vegas and met up with my mom, and we were like in the casino, and she was drinking, and she kept looking at me funny. I'm like, what are you looking at? She's like, I just don't know what made you pick that hair color. She's like, I don't like this one. I'm like, it's my real hair color. God picked it. And she was like, oh my God.
Out of
She's
all.
Like, all the years that I tried to get you to stop dyeing your hair.
And this is what we got. Thanks, Mom.
I'm like, oh, you just stepped it. So let me just bore you with a little bit of a lyric, because I love this. It's try not to get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight. And I just have always loved that as like a lullaby. Just go to sleep. Take it from an insomniac, but anytime somebody sings something about sleeping,
I'm trying to imagine that a little more soothing without it being your voice. Yeah. So if it's
well,
only,
he's in not a lullaby, drinking.
In a lullaby.
Try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine. Oh, let the world turn
much
without
better.
You.
Mucho tonight. Batero. Thank you.
If you try, you'll get by, so forget all about us.
Oh.
It's lovely.
It's lovely.
Very nice.
Then they start screaming about myrrh like and frankincense.
Missing someone like crazy. There you go.
Missed you like crazy.
They really do start to scream.
All right.
Oh.
Well, I think that is enough of a show for 1 week.
Oh, funny.
We got a lot in.
We got. We did. Kat was here for
it
all
was
of
the it. Perfect amount for me, yeah.
Yeah.
For somebody who had absolutely nothing
just
prepared.
Just enough, yeah.
Just
she'll
enough.
She'll be late next week as
I
well.
Came, I just came for this next.
Yeah. And we learned that the horse's don't name is about heroin, so still laser focused.
It's quite all right.
Yeah, we have our finger on the pulse.
Not everybody's pulse, just most people's. It's all right.
Certainly not Whitney's.
Oh.
You know what she'd be doing if she was alive right now?
Heroin.
Let me out.
Oh my God.
Swimming?
Still There's funny.
That, yeah. Still, yeah.
Wow. It's funny every day.
Anybody there?
Every day.
Anybody there?
Hello.
Hello.
Well, everybody in the chat room, thank you all for being in the chat room. It was very active tonight. Thank you so much. As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will see you next Tuesday.
No one ever asked me to sing.